Good evening. So I guess y'all are tired, right? Well, I didn't get much response, but I sure got a bunch of smiles. Amen. So let me know that I was really right. Yeah, amen. Well, have y'all had a good meeting thus far? Well, I sure would hate to mess it up for you. But I listened last night. I was not able to be at our church last night, so I listened to the most of the message last night, and I thought, wow, how can I follow stuff like that? And it was really good. Don't y'all think it was? Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. I want you to open your Bible, the book of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter number 23. I'm going to be reading there in just a moment. But I want to ask you this question. Can you answer that question that's in that song? No, can you answer it? Can you answer it in a way that would let us know that you really know what it's like to be saved? So if we started out tonight, one by one, we said, answer that question, that song. Do you know how it feels to be? We're not saved by feelings. Oh, no. We're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus' finished work. I will tell you this. Jesus said this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, it looks to me like that that old Gadarene maniac, well, let's use him as an example. There he was, I mean, in a mess, and he met Jesus. Do you reckon there was a change in his feelings? You reckon he knew something about how it felt to be saved? What do you think? Well, so let me ask you. What if I started tonight and I said, all right, I want to start with you, Millie, and I want you to stand, and I want you to tell us, not by what you've heard other people say, but what you know in your heart, that how it feels to be born again, how it feels to be saved. So, what are you going to say when we go around the room and it comes to you? Say, well, Brother Wells, I got up that morning where I got after I got saved, and I looked out the window, and I heard the rooster crowing, and I said, oh, no, not that thing crowing again. Well, it sounded to me like you have really had a good day there, right? And so how does it feel? What would you say if we ask you tonight, tell this congregation how it really feels to be born again and to be saved by the grace of God? Could you say it in a way that would convince us that you really knew something about what it means to be born again and saved by God's grace? I mean, it is a good question. And you may never be asked to say that down here, but I will tell you another verse that you might not remember. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. And here's the surety. The Lord knoweth, not guesswork, not hope so, not think so. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and that every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now I've said this a lot of times. See, somebody say, well, Brother Wells, you know, you can't see my heart. You don't know what's in my heart. That's true, I can't. And so the Lord said this. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, right? Now, how am I going to know that? The rest of that verse tells you how I'm going to know that. And said, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, God knows it. He knows it because he's applied the blood. I don't know anything. The only way I will know that you really have been saved is if you get out of the sinning business. And if you don't get out of the sinning business, that is strong, strong evidence that Christ has never moved inside the heart. So I hope you know that tonight. All right, so I think that's said. Let me move on. So I'm in Luke chapter number 23. By the way, thank y'all for praying for us. Y'all did, didn't you? Amen. I appreciate that. We got a little late start today. We had to get my wife to the doctor today, and And the appointment she had wasn't until 10 minutes to 1. Well, we got out in plenty of time. We had to go to the drugstore. So we get to the drugstore, and the sign says, gone to lunch from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And so we didn't even get, they didn't even open back up to 2 o'clock. And so I said, I need it now. They said, it'll be 30 minutes. And so I sat there and gritted my teeth and tried to pray, tried to have a good spirit about it. And so we were a little late getting started. But God's good to us. And and by the way, we had to come through that famous city, Gatlinburg. Have you ever driven through there? Have you ever driven across the mountain during the leaf season? I mean, when everybody's really looking to see the leaves. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had such a fun time. Amen. We had such a fun time. Amen. All right, we're in Luke chapter number 23 tonight. And I'm going to be reading verses number 33 and following. So follow with us, if you will. All right, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, and coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's have prayer together. Then we're going to try to look at a little bit of this tonight. Father, I'm giving you praise and honor and glory today for who you are, Father, for what you are, and Lord, for this precious divine word that you've given us, our Father, to read, and Lord, to establish our eternity on. And Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the opportunity of just standing and saying something about the dear Savior that gave his life for us. Now, Lord, I don't know what you want to do tonight in this meeting. I have no idea. But Father, with all the heart that's within me, I lay myself at your feet tonight. I yield my body, my voice, every part of me, Lord, I yield to you tonight that you might be pleased to say and do whatever it is that, Lord, you want said and done. I pray, dear Father, what you have already spoken in this meeting, Lord, from whenever it started until now. Lord, whatever you have said to the souls of those that came, oh, how I pray that, Father, the Holy Spirit would not let your voice, our God, be silenced. No matter what people do, no matter what they do to try to occupy their mind, Lord, maybe a cell phone or a computer, whatever. But Lord, please help people not, Lord, to forget what you have said to their soul. Lord, we know that we shall stand before you someday. and give an account, dear Father God, for everything, Lord, you've said to us. Oh, how I pray that, Lord, we would be sensitive enough to you tonight to, Lord, to do what you say to do. Help us now, Father, and we'll honor your sweet name for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I want to say a couple of things tonight about some of the things we read in these verses tonight. And we will move along as the Lord give us help. So I want to say, and I know you know this already, but I want to say this. The cross of Jesus is not a mishap. You need to understand that. The cross of Jesus and what went on there is not because maybe Jesus failed in the ministry that God gave him. Oh, that was not it. See, that Bible said this, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You know what that verse tells us? That verse tells us that somewhere before there was an earth, somewhere before there was a devil, somewhere before there was a man that sinned against God. There was a council meeting, and God in heaven and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit met together, and they devised a plan by which mankind could be saved. And in that plan, God planned to deliver Jesus, his only begotten Son, to the hands of wicked men. And the Bible said, the rest of that verse I've quoted, the Bible says, whom you have taken by wicked hands have crucified and slain. God delivered his Son into the hands of wicked men. Oh, listen to me a minute. When you saw, I know a lot of you folks here you're not married. Maybe you're married, you don't have children. But there's not one of you in this building that have got children that you would not want to give up your child for somebody else under any circumstances, no matter what it is. And the Bible said that some wouldn't even dare to die for good men. But you and I, you would not, and I would not want to give up my son or my daughter so that somebody else could live. But God the Father was willing to give up his son and planned to do that so that men could never have eternal life and be saved by God's grace. So it's not just a happenstance. It is something God planned. Now, there's a lot of things I could say about why God did that and why God planned salvation that way. And a lot of it I don't know. But I know he wanted to make atonement for us. He wanted to reconcile us himself, even though we didn't exist. Oh, look here, think a minute now. I'm talking about a God that knew we'd need these things before we ever existed. Are y'all hearing that? And we treat God like he's just some little flippant somebody. And yet this God knows the end from the beginning. And from the beginning, they were made of way in order, knowing that you and I would fall and be in sin. And yet God is making way for us to be reconciled back unto himself for fellowship. And so there are several reasons that God had this, but I want to give you what I think is probably the main reason. Will you just listen now? I want you to get it. 1 Peter 3:18. Oh, hear what God said. He said, for Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Are y'all listening to me? Let me make a statement before I read that again. And here's what he said. For Christ also had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. Do you understand that, neighbor, every man, every sin has got to be suffered for in some way or another? So here's what he said. For Christ also had once, just one time, suffered for sin. But if you and I would reject Christ and go to hell, oh yeah, it'll be a once suffering for sin, but it will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That Christ once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. And here it is. Here is the reason that God has made these plans, that he might bring us to God. Oh, are y'all hearing that? And I'm sorry for the cough. He said that he might bring us to God. Why is that important? Why is that important? Here's why. No matter how smart you are, no matter how bright you are, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter what advantages you have in life, you may be a multimillionaire. You may have such power and authority that people bow at you. That can tell you this, you will never, ever, ever have the stuff it takes to find God. You cannot find God. You couldn't find God, neighbor, if you had a billion years to try to find God. You couldn't find Him. That's why Jesus said, that's why the Bible said this, that He gave Himself. He wants to suffer sin that He might bring us to God. What does that really mean, to bring us to God? Are y'all hearing me now? Are y'all hearing me now? Well, here's what that word bring means. It means like you, if you're in a supermarket and you've got one of your children that they're able to walk, but they don't have good sense of direction yet, and you would take them by the hand, and you will hold them, and you will lead them through the process of shopping so they will not get lost. You're taking them by the hand and leading them, neighbor, to a designated place. Here's what God is saying. He is saying, this is why I gave Jesus, so I could take you by the hand. Since you cannot find God, there's no way you can find God. Oh, no matter how smart you are, you just don't have the ability to find Him. You don't know the prayers to pray. You don't know nothing to do. But God has to take us by the hand and lead us toward Himself so that we can get born again. Are y'all hearing me now? Surely you remember when you got saved. Surely you remember the time when God birthed you in the family of God. And how that God was speaking to you. You knew He was speaking to you. And you finally just yielded to Him. What God was doing through that process we call conviction. It's God. It's taking you by the hand and leading Him toward His Son so that you can trust His Son to be saved. Are y'all hearing that? And if God had not have sent Christ, you and I would not have a chance to go to heaven. You and I would die in our sins and perish in hell forever and ever and ever. Now, hang with me for just a moment. I want to say a couple more things, and then I want to deal with a particular verse. So here we got Jesus that has said He's once suffered for sins that just for the unjust. What does that mean? That means that you and I were as unjust as we could be. We're as vile as we could be. We're ungodly. Oh, we may have a good show on the outside, but that heart is so wicked and so ungodly. We're just looking for the opportunity to neighbor to let our feelings out and experience the vileness and the wickedness of this world. That's what's in every one of us, even those that have professed Christ and don't know Him. That is in you to want to, neighbor, get a hold of that world, taste that world, love that world, neighbor, and put your arms around it. Embrace that world. Oh, yeah, it's there. And if so, can I say this to you tonight? And if so, what is all this stuff about Jesus dying on the cross for anyone? I mean, what? Yeah, He's going to lead us to God. But there is something else that has to be dealt with. Christ is on that cross, and He is dying, not just to be dying, but there is an issue that has to be dealt with. You better listen to this boy. You better listen to this old man. That issue that has to be dealt with is sin. I'm telling you, better hear that, buddy. Sin. Yes, some have said, well, so what? Maybe I cussed a little. So what? A lot of people do that. So I smoke a little joint. You know, everybody does that. So I just said this bad word. So I just did this. So I left it here. I left it there. And so, well, what's so bad about that? Everybody does that. Well, here's what's bad about it. See, that's what Jesus is dying for. The issue of sin is what He is on that cross for. You better not take sin lightly. See, that word sin, that is what's going to put men and women in hell fire for eternity, then the lake of fire to follow. It's that little three-letter word, sin, that we make fun of. All we say, nothing to it. Everybody's doing that. But I'm going to tell you something. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? God, please help me to say it right. Listen to me now. The Bible said this. He said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be mean. But God knows what's in your heart and mind. And you know what? If I know this Bible says something, or it doesn't say, it says me to do or me not to do. And in this heart of mine, whether I'm a professed believer or not, and I say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Are y'all hear me now? All right, let me just help me here, Lord. Let me move on. I'll maybe say something about that later. But here's what I'm trying to say. I don't know what's in your heart. I have no idea. But neighbor, if you are just telling me that you're saved, and in this heart of you, you want to embrace what is vile and what is wicked and what is ungodly, neighbor, that is proof there is sin in your heart. Oh, are y'all hearing me? Are y'all hearing me? I don't want to be ugly and mean. I want to tell you about my baby daughter, and I'll do my best. I know this is going to be live stream. She might hear it, but I'll do my best not to be offensive to her. But all three of my children, Andy and Kenny and Sandy, all raised in the same home, of the same principles, of the same preaching, of the same guidelines. Every single one of them made a profession of faith and said, yes, I'm saved by God's grace. Are you listening now? And I watched Sandy, my younger daughter, I watched her. And as she started getting older, where she could, and she thought she could make some of her own choices, I saw the choices that she started making. I saw them as they were choices that neither the world could identify with. Christians wouldn't identify with. But I saw her as she started making those choices like that. Are y'all gathering this tonight? I want you to get it. And so as time went on, she got married. And then this particular issue stands out real strong in my mind. So she got married. And so one Sunday morning, she and my other daughter and Carolyn, they sang together's drill. And I remember this particular morning, just like it was yesterday, she's standing up there singing with Carolyn and Candy. And I noticed she got on these special high heels this time. And I noticed she's got this old worldly choker on her throat. And instead of making her look like a Christian, you could tell it was making her look like the world. Are y'all hearing that? So what are you saying? I'm saying the indication of her heart was beginning to show. And I'm going to tell you this, buddy. You better hear old Brother Wells. I don't care what's in your heart. It's going to come out. God is going to make sure it's coming out. You may hide it for a while, but that drive inside, it's going to come out of you. And others are going to find out, neighbor, that they're going to be saying, oh, my God, I didn't know that was in that person. I thought that person was different from that. But see, what's in that heart, if you'll be honest, it's telling you whether you know the Son of God or whether you don't know the Son of God. So here's what the Bible teaches. The wages of sin is death. When I transgress this Bible, God says, I've sinned against God. Will y'all listen to me now? I want to make a statement, and you know it, but I want you to get it. So, here's what the Bible said. The wages of, y'all remember what that Bible verse is? The wages of sin is. Now, I want to tell you something. That is not saying that, neighbor, that sin is all grouped in one wad. And I can prove it, neighbor, the other verses, that sin is not grouped in just the one wad, and all that one wad is requiring one death. No, every single sin, I don't care small or large, whether it's little bitty or whether it's mediocre, whether it's great big, it has an attachment to it. It's like pinning the tail on the donkey. Y'all have done that, right? It's like pinning the tail on a donkey. Every sin has got a little tail pinned on it, and it's called death. Every sin has, y'all hearing me? Every sin has a death penalty to it. Lord, let this go somewhere. Every sin has got a death penalty attached to it. I wonder. I don't know how old you were when you got saved. I don't know. But I wonder this. How many death penalties did you have in your life before you got saved? Are y'all hearing that tonight? If you were 20 years old when you got saved, how many death penalties that had was attached to your name in the book in heaven? And God says, there you are, Larry. That's you. And you've got, oh, Larry, you've got multitudes. You've got billions, Lord, Larry, of death penalties attached to you. See, that's why the lake of fire is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You can never get done paying for the death penalties of the sin that you've committed. And yet the dear Son of God, he was on that cross and he's doing that very thing. He is never suffering for your sins and mine. I can't take time to do all this, but I will tell you this. When there Jesus is, he's on that cross. Y'all hear me now? There he is on that cross. And all the sins that maybe you know about, and what about the ones you've already forgotten about? That neighbor, you done push him out of your mind. There he is on that cross. What's he doing? He is suffering the just for the unjust. Verse 24 of chapter 2 of Peter. He said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Here's what that means. Oh, are y'all listening to me now? Every sin I committed has got that death penalty to it. While Christ is on that cross, God in his sovereign ability is pulling my sins out of the future and putting all those sins of mine upon the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is dying the death penalty for the sins that I've committed. But not just mine, for yours and yours and yours and yours and yours. That's what he's doing. He is paying that death penalty for neighbor, for yours and mine. And so, as we move along, I want to say this to you now. Help us, Lord. Help us now. All right, look back. I want you to look back at verse number 34. Look at 34, and then I'll be done here in just a moment. So look at verse number 34, if you would. Let's read it again and see what verse 34 said. The Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Here's what I want you to see. So you and I both know this, that when Jesus is on the cross of Calvary, he's going to speak seven times. Yes or no? Yeah, he's going to say seven statements from the cross. But isn't it not amazing? The first statement he chose to give was this in 34. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's what I want. Somehow I let you get a hold of if God will help us tonight. See, all those sins I talked about, and the ones you know about. Listen, I'm persuaded tonight that God, neighbor, God knows somebody tonight that has got sin in your heart and sin in your heart and mind, and neighbor, and you're just faking it. You're acting like it's not there. I believe with all my heart God is zeroing in on somebody tonight and letting you know, I know about the things you're trying to hide from everybody else. I know what you're doing on the job. I know what you're doing at school. I know what you're doing out yonder when nobody's looking. And God is saying, every one of those things is not right, has a death penalty to it. Now, can I tell you this? See, for most of us that are raised in church, the things we do would be willful against God. It would be things we're going to do no matter what. Well, no matter what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Now, I want you to think about this. What would you do if you're a parent I guess about the best thing to do. If you're a parent and you've got one of your children, listen to me now. One of your children, let's say maybe you're one of your sons or go whatever it is, and they've got the responsibility of taking their trash out on a certain day. Well, y'all listen to me now. And so they're now up about 13 or 14 years old, and you say, son or daughter, would you take the trash out this morning? And if they buck up and they say, listen, old man, I've taken the trash out the last time I'm going to. You can take your own trash out from now on. Y'all hear me now? So what's that going to do to you? You'll say, sweetheart, now you shouldn't say that. Oh, no. I'm going to say, sweetheart, you shouldn't say that. Go to the back room. I'm going to let you know why you shouldn't say that. But now what about men and women like you and I that know who God is and know what God wants? And yet with our own heart and our will, we say, I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what. Can you imagine how that makes God feel knowing? I have given my son for you. I've given you parents or somebody that's directed you, taken you to church, and they've given you the gospel. And yet here you are now saying, I don't care what you say, God. I'm going to do what I want to do. Are y'all hearing that tonight? Are you really hearing that tonight? And if so, how do you think that makes God feel? And here, do you know there must be a reason why John the Baptist said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God? Y'all remember that? Now, there must be a reason John said that. And you know what I think it is? I think it is that is God, that neighbor, when the judgment time comes, that God is pouring out his wrath upon those that have said, I don't care what you want to do, God. I'm going to live my life the way I want. I'm going to have the friends I want to. I'm going to have the opinions I want to have. I don't care what that Bible says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Are you listening now? So what do you think that does to God's heart? Now, I want you to think about this a moment. If that does to God's heart what I think it does to God's heart, look at the first thing God said from the cross. Y'all see that? He didn't say, you bunch of heathen down there from the cross, look what you've done to me. Here's what I got for you. Firebolt here, a firebolt there, a firebolt here. I'm going to wipe all of you out now. No. Look what he said. Are y'all grabbing any of that? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What Jesus has just done, he's just announced his theme for everything he said on that cross, every statement he made on that cross, he just announced his theme. And that theme is this. I don't want to exercise judgment. I don't want to send people to hell. I don't want to have to stand at the great white throne judgment of God and pronounce eternal judgment on souls. Here's what I want to do. I want to forgive men and women and boys and girls of their sins against the God of heaven. Yes. And I want you to think about that a moment. I mean, you think about this. With all that Jesus is going through here, I mean, all that he's going through, look at what he's suffering. He's on the cross. And yet, with all that suffering, and in his first uttered words, he's not showing any vengeance toward those that put him on that cross. Oh, no, I wish that could sink in. You know what? If you're done, yeah, now look here. Brother, please remind your name again. Yes. Ronnie. Thank you, Ronnie. So, let me ask you this. Ronnie, did you lose some pups? Is that what I gathered? Somebody stole some pups off you? Did somebody steal some puppies off of you? All right, well, I didn't get what you were saying a while ago then. But let me, what would you know? What would you do if you had your chance to get your hands on them? You wouldn't put your arms around them and kiss them and say, well, God bless you. I know you did it with kindness in your heart. No. You wouldn't say, you know why? Because there's something in us when we're offended. There's something in us that wants to reach out and grab a little vengeance against those that do us wrong. Oh, but what about Jesus? Oh, what about Jesus on the cross? And I mean, there was not a single thing that was done for him that was right. Everything they did to him was all wrong. And yet, here Christ is. And he's not saying, Father, send judgment down. Father, rain fire from... No, no, no. In his hour of great suffering, he's thinking of you. No, I want you to think that through. In his hour of suffering, he's thinking of you. Yeah. Who in your hour of pleasure are saying, I know what I want, and I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what. And yet, the Son of God, in his greatest suffering hour, said, I'm remembering you. I'm not interested in judgment on you. I'm interested in forgiving every sin you ever committed. What a dear Savior. I mean, what a Savior. So he suffered physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually for us. But now, look at verse number 34 again. Notice now. Here's how I know Christ wants to forgive sin. Because of how he suffered. Number two, look what he said. Then said Jesus. What did he say? He said, Father, right? Let me ask you this. So if you heard me say, if you were in the back, and let's say the lights were out, and you came in, and let's say I was up here in the altar or somewhere up front, and I said, Father, what would you think I was doing? You would think I was praying, wouldn't you? That is exactly what Jesus is doing. He said, Father, Father. So here's what he's doing. He is making supplication for those that have just nailed him on the cross. He's making supplication even for those that have rejected him and said, no, oh, are y'all hearing me? What about Cain, who rejected God's offering? What about Esau? A neighbor that sought repentance and couldn't find it. What about old Felix, who said, when I have a convenient season? What about Herod, who said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian? And what about those men that with lives of full of wickedness, and they deliberately rejected Christ, and yet God said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He's praying. He's praying for people that have abused him, that have made him suffer on the cross. Can I ask you this? How much did you make him suffer? How much of that suffering on the cross was you responsible for? Are you listening? So, look here. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He's making intercession. You think about this. Jesus was making intercession for those around him that were guilty of physically abusing him. He's making intercession, neighbor, for his own brothers and his nation that rejected him. He's making intercession, neighbor, for, oh my, listen to me, for the Gentiles who are not invited in. He's making intercession, neighbor, for men and women like you. Oh, hear me now. What about men like Hitler? What about men that lined up 6 million of God's chosen people? And he gassed them and put them to death. Somebody said, that's false. You know, only a fool could believe that's false with so much evidence. And so here's what I'm saying. And yet, Hitler done all that. Do you not understand that Jesus' prayer included Hitler? Do you not know that neighbor Stalin murdered 50 million people in Russia when he took over? Yeah. And do you not understand that when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, he's including Stalin, neighbor, in that prayer? Are you hearing me now? But I'm not bad at Stalin. Let me ask you this much now. So you're not bad at Stalin. So you didn't kill 50 million people. And so you didn't do all the other vile things that Stalin did. But have you committed one sin? Let me tell you how serious God is. The thought of foolishness is sin. All you got to do is have one foolish thought. And God said, that is sin. And he said, that one sin is enough to send you to eternal hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Y'all getting that? So here's what he's saying. He was saying, in essence, you and I are just as guilty as Hitler and Stalin. And we'll be, without Christ, we'll spend the same eternity in hellfire. Now, show you this. Let me finish. So he said, here's how I know he loves us and wants to forgive us. Because of his suffering, because of his supplication. Yes. But now, notice something else. He said, Father, I have supplication. Then he said this. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now let's grab a hold of that, and I'm done. Do you think you really know what you're doing by playing the religious game? Do you really think you know what you're doing as a sinner without Christ? Do you really think you know what you're doing? Now, I know you've probably heard stuff like this before. But if you really think that I know what I'm doing, you don't have to worry about me. I know. I know how far to go. I know a preacher that he played with the women. He played with them. And he said, I know how far to go. I know when to quit. But he got in the bed with a preacher's wife and destroyed his family and that preacher's family as well. And why? Oh, yeah, I know how far to go. I know when to quit. You don't know when to quit. This wicked, ungodly flesh don't know when, nor does it know how to quit. No, it does not. No. But I want you to grab a hold of this now. So here Jesus is, and he's saying, Father, they don't know what they do. Y'all remember the first time God spoke to your heart? Did you get saved the first time God spoke to you? You know what? You didn't know what you were doing. You know, God is not even obligated to speak to you one time. Say, God is obligated. No, God has no obligation. No. He said, whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And I mean, that's just my way of putting it. But God said that. You know what? You've heard about Christ. I've heard about Christ. And you've heard with your ears. And now you are absolutely responsible for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ if God never speaks to your heart, not one time. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now think about this now. Did I know what I was doing? That night I said no. No, I did not know what I was doing. Have you ever listened to Brother J. Harold Smith's message on God's three deadlines? Y'all ever listened to that? You should listen to it. And you can listen to it online. Brother Smith preached that message, God's three deadlines. He tells one story after another story that happened in his meetings. For instance, like this young man that was sitting in his meeting, and he begged God. He was praying for God to save that boy. He preached to the boy, and the boy laughed at him and mocked at him. And then when the invitation time came, he laughed and got up and walked out. Less than 3 miles from the church, he ran head on into a car and was screaming, too late, too late, too late, too late. And the car got on fire and burned him up, and he went to hell without God. You know what that says? That says we don't know what we're doing when we tell God, wait another day. Oh, just like old Felix. He said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee. And he never called. What about old Agrippa when he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And he never called Paul back. He never asked Paul to give him the gospel, but not ever again. You know why? He did not know what he was doing when he turned Jesus down. Do you know what you're doing? If you need him, do you really know what you're doing when you say no to him? You know, I didn't finish telling you all my story about my daughter. She didn't say it with her lips, but she said it with her life. She said it with her life, "I don't want your religion. I want religion of my own making." Now listen to me now. I probably told y'all this and you didn't know what I was talking about. But last year, she had a brain bleed. They took out a blood clot out of her brain as big as your fist. And when I saw her, first time I saw her after I found out she was in the hospital, I went to see her. Her whole head was caved in when they did surgery. Oh, y'all listen to me. Oh, listen. And when I first saw her, here's what she looked like. This side, she couldn't even move it. And she was going, blah, 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 blah. That's what she looked like. You know why? Because she made her mind up, her choice, her heart. I want to do what I want to do. I'm not following that old-time religion. I'm not following something that's going to change me. Because I want to be what I want to be. Are you listening? I thought about a little girl. Well, she wasn't a little girl. She was a big gal. But I thought about her today when I was praying. She was, her daddy was a deacon in our church. And she was a big, heavy-set, red-headed girl. And, a sweet little woman. But her mama got mad at me. And she pulled her husband and whole family out and went to another church. That didn't stand for the old-fashioned way. Are you listening? You know what this big, heavy-set girl did? There was a Hindu that set his eyes on her for whatever reason. And he married her and started a business, and she worked in the business. Do you know what? I think, Carolyn, she did. You don't know. Here's what I know. I know this. Unless she's changed, her Hindu husband has convinced her in his way, and she will be in eternal hell without God. Why? Why? Because somewhere in that heart, she wanted to do something different. And this old time way of believing God and trusting God. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been made a new creature? Have you ever had your sin forgiven? Don't answer to me. Have you ever had your sin forgiven? See, here's what we're like. Y'all listen to me? Y'all heard Miss Kellen go out coughing? Well, I want to tell you a little story. We were in Maryland. We were healthy, just healthy as we'd be. So I drove 9 hours to Maryland to preach in a meeting up there. While we were there, we came in contact with two people that were real bad with us, whatever it is. We came home. We were recipients of it. Y'all understand that, don't you? We call it. All right. But wait a minute. Let me tell you how we humans are. Most of us, like Miss Carolyn, she said, "I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm taking this, I'm taking that, I'm okay." And so here's what we're hoping. We're hoping that whatever we're taking will just make it go away. And we won't have it anymore. But it didn't go away. That's why I took her to the doctor this morning. Because it didn't go away. See, that's what we do with our sin. We think that our sin is just going to go away. But see, sin never goes away. The only way sin will ever go away is if it is washed away in the blood of Jesus. That's the only way it will ever go away. I don't know what you do with your life. I don't know. But I know every day when I get up, I try to make sure that my mind, and my heart, and my prayer time goes to Calvary. Somewhere along the way, I've got to get my mind to Calvary. Because it's where there where Jesus paid the debt for my sin. And that, and because of what he did, all that filth and trash and ungodliness that was stored up in my heart, it's there where it was washed away in the blood and made me a new creature. Are y'all listening? Do you know your sin has been forgiven? I want to say this to you. Jesus wants to forgive sin. He wants to forgive yours and mine. He wants to forgive your children, my children, your grandchildren, and my grandchildren. He wants to forgive their sin. But I want to make a statement to you, and I'm done. If you don't want what he wants for you, God will let you have what you want. God is not going to shove your nose in the dirt, put your arm up behind your neck, and say, get saved or I'll kill you now. God is not going to do that. God's going to give you an opportunity to receive what he has. But if in your heart you want what you're wanting, I'll pause you right there. I'll try to come back to that. Let me tell you what my daughter told me the other day. She said, Daddy, she said, as fast as I think, and as fast as I talk, and she is a super fast thinker, she said, I thought in my heart and mind, I thought if I saw death coming, I'd have time enough to call God and ask God to forgive us just before the impact and die. She told me that out of her own mouth. And she said how wrong I was. She was walking along and boom, fell on the ground. That's how fast she did not have time. That's how fast people that don't know God are going to leave this world. So I want to ask you, do you know your sins are forgiven? And if you don't want his forgiveness, if you will just do whatever you're doing, but yet in that heart of yours, you want what this world offers, and you want the worldly people this world offers, I'm telling you, God will let you have it. Do you believe that? Why don't you think this through? Did God let Cain have what he wanted? Did God let Esau have what he wanted? Yeah. Did God let the people of Sodom and Gomorrah have what they wanted? Yeah, he did. Did he let Agrippa have what he wanted? Did he let Pilate have what he wanted? Did he let Pilate's wife have what she wanted? Are y'all hearing that? Why should he treat you any different? God will let you have what you want. I really hope you want the right thing. I really hope you want the right thing. I'm done. I've given you what I felt like God wanted to give you tonight. I hope somewhere God had a heart that he wants to speak to. I would really have difficulty believing that God wanted me to just get up here and spell off this message without somebody being in need. I really believe that. What a great God. What a great God. To still won't reject. What a great God to want somebody like me and you after we've messed our life up, been filthy and ungodly, maybe not with outside of the body, but in our heart and mind, filthy and ungodly. Oh, you would be so shocked today at the men and women on the outside looked so clean. But if you knew what they were taking in their heart and mind, you'd say, oh, how can they be so filthy? They're choosing that. That's what they're choosing. And yet, here's the truth. God would take them if they wanted him. He would take them and he'd forgive them. Let's pray.